session number 13110, rule 3.
Mr. Beale, rule 3. Do you think they would have known it was the first aid post they were attacking?
No. I'd probably saw men moving around and thought, you know, that were just troops hiding in there or something, you know. But anyhow, though, eventually the transport came up for us and took us back to the 7th General Hospital.
British or New Zealand?
New Zealand Hospital.
Where was this?
That was near Kānea. It was when we got there, the hospital was absolutely crowded with wounded, German and British. We found the Germans very friendly. They weren't arrogant, as a lot of them were at other times. They were very friendly, and we were playing Ludo and all sorts of games with them, and they spoke, a lot of them spoke very good English. One of them even said to us, why were we fighting one another? They said, you know, two of the finest fighting nations there was. If we were fighting together, we could, you know, conquer the world sort of thing. We just laughed and said, no. It was during that time that the hospital was being started to be strafed by the Luftwaffe. And we said to the Germans, you know, the prisoners, the wounded, why were they strafing the hospital? Surely they knew it was a hospital. They said, well, yes, but you just look outside, they said. There's men out there with steel helmets on, and he says, and some of them are even carrying rifles. So we couldn't say much about that. So they went out and they started waving to their own aircraft to wave them away, but they finished up by laying out a red cross on the ground outside, and eventually the planes went away. They must have realised that there was Germans there, so they left us alone after that. It was then that we got the first order that the island was going to be evacuated. We couldn't believe it. We thought it was, you know, just a joke or something. They said, no, it's all the walking wounded that can walk have got to be evacuated. You start marching. We're told we had to march the other side of the island over the White Mountains, which was a long walk. I should imagine about 30 miles. So we started on this march, and we were strafed all the way there. Thousands of troops packing the roads. well, you could hardly call it a road. It was, in those days, it was just a rough tract, more or less, over the mountain. Today, of course, it's all tarmac road.
Who were you with at the time?
Was with a mixture. It was Australian, New Zealanders and English, everybody all mixed up. It was just a rabble, in other words. There was no organisation. There was everybody marching on their 2 feet. There was no transport. There was very little transport on the island at all, very few vehicles.
So what happened next?
Beg your pardon?
What happened next?
Well, we marched to the beach. It was a tiny beach. The Navy came in with their small craft, and started loading up their boats and ferrying us out to the ships. At one stage there was a bit of panic going on, and they were breaking into the ranks of the wounded, because the wounded were separated and told to be ready to go onto the boats. And at that time it was getting near the end of the evacuation, and we realised that there wasn't going to be many more hours before the whole operation was going to finish. And any of those that left behind would be taken prisoners. So there was a bit of panic then, and they started breaking into the ranks of the wounded.
Who did?
Some of our troops, or English or Australian, wherever they were. They were determined they were going to get on the ships as well. So it was then the order was given that a detachment of New Zealanders were told to fix their bayonets and shoot any man that broke into the ranks.
Were you amongst those who were told?
Yeah, I was amongst that lot of wounded. And
were you told to fix bayonets?
No, I was one of the wounded. I was out of the fight.
Well, you saw them fix bayonets, did you?
Oh, yes, yes. But that stopped them. The boats came in and we were quickly loaded on board, scrambled on board, and I was taken out to the supply ship, the Glengarle.
The same ship?
Yes, well, one of the Glengarle ships, yes. And it was the same one, and that was two of them there. And we had to scramble up scrambling nets on the side of the ship, and I'd no sooner hit the deck of the ship, and a sailor shoved a great big wad of bread and bully beef and a steaming mug of cocoa into my hand, which was, great. We were starving at that time. Hadn't eaten for probably 24 hours or more. So, and they were evacuated back to Alexandra. taken to hospital.
So you left from Sfakia, did you?
Yes, Sfakia, yes.
What treatment did you get in Alexandria?
Pardon?
What treatment did you get in Alexandria?
Well, little they could do, they x-rayed my arm. And they said, well, that was all right. And, of course, it was a flesh wound through the shoulder, and I remember them shoving a probe through it, probably to clean it out, I don't know. That was pretty ghastly.
How long did it take you to recover?
Oh, I was only there for two or three days. And then I was sent on convalescent leave to Ismailia, that's right, yes. And I think I had a week's convalescent there, and I was sent back to my unit at Mardi again.
So the 20th Battalion?
Yeah, back to the 20th Battalion. And from then on we were back on training again, desert training.
When did you go up to the front in the Western Desert?
November. November 41.
Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, we were taken to a place called Sidi Rezegh. A place called the blockhouse Sidi Rezegh, 20 miles south of Tobruk. We took up positions there, and eventually contact was made with the Germans. At that time I was back in the mortars again, in a mortar pit. We dug this pit in the shallow sand when we struck rock, and of course we couldn't get the gun down far enough, so we were more or less stuck out in open desert. Opened fire with the mortars, and then we were overrun by tanks. About 50 Tiger tanks.
When you say we, you mean your mortar unit?
The whole brigade. Of course, we had no tanks at that time. We were expecting tanks for the South African Army, but which would never put in an appearance. Actually, when the Germans came at us with their Tiger tanks, we thought it was the South African Army coming to relieve us. But it wasn't, it was the Germans. And of course, they just took us prisoner.
Can you describe how you were taken prisoner, please?
Well, one of these monsters rolled up to the edge of our mortar pit, and the officer on the German officer in the turret just pointed his machine gun at us and told us to put our hands up because we had no option. Our officer was given the order at that time, you know, surrender, which is pointless, fighting.
Who was your officer?
I can't think of it, can't remember his name at the moment.
What did the Germans say to you, or do?
Well, they just told us to drop all our equipment off. Which we did, threw off our webbing equipment, ammunition and bayonet and everything. And then they were in a panic, the Germans were. They told us to form up quickly, you know, into a block sort of thing. And they gave us the order to run in a certain direction.
Why were they in such a panic?
Because they were afraid of a counterattack or something. So we ran and were... The German troops that come up with the tanks, they were hemming us in, and they ran with us, and of course the bullets were flying, and a lot of the chaps were getting hit even after they'd surrendered, you know.
From the British
from our own own stuff, probably. You know, the other brigades that surrounded us, you know, were still in action. And that's why they wanted to get us away quick, because they were afraid we'd be retaken back again, you know. So they marched us back to the point where they were, their depot or whatever it was, and there we were handed over to the Italians.
How did they treat you?
Pretty rotten. We didn't think much of them as soldiers. Germans, you could trust a German, but you couldn't an Italian. Germans treated us all right, but the Italians didn't.
Did they steal from you?
Oh yes, they wanted they took wristwatches and fountain pens and all that sort of thing. Until we complained to a German sergeant that we were being robbed, more or less, and he turned on the Italians and gave them a good dressing down and told them to hand all the stuff back.
Did they?
Yes. I handed it back. But little did we know that they'd get it all back again within a matter of hours. Because the Italians started to march us away to a prison compound, which was hastily erected, you know, barbed wire all around. And I put us into this lager for the night. And of course we had no food or nothing. And we asked when we were going to get some water, because we were very thirsty. Eventually, a water wagon was brought up, and we were given one small tin of bully beef, tin of water each. That was our lot. Nothing to eat. Then the next morning, we were moved off by truck and taken to Benghazi.
What happened there?
Well, put into a transit camp there, prisoner of war camp. And after a couple of days, we were marched down to the harbour and put aboard a Italian merchant ship, which was the which we called the Jason.
What was its real name?
I can't think. Jensen, I think it was called, Jensen, which we translated to Jason.
Were there many POWs put on that ship?
Yes, it was 2,000, about roughly half and half. Half were New Zealanders and half were South Africans.
Were you separated?
It was about four holds, I think, put into different holds and battened down.
Were you separated from the South Africans?
Yes. Well, we more or less separated ourselves, you know. Then,
what were conditions like in the holds?
Well, it was just on bare metal decks. I think we're given a tin of bully beef and a loaf of bread each, which had to last us the journey or the voyage. A guard was put on the top of each hold with an exit hole through the battens on the top. And if you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to get permission from the guard to come up the iron ladder. Of course, at one point I wanted to go to the toilet, so I got permission to go up and went to the toilet, which was a toilet was rigged over the side of the ship. And I'd no sooner got into the toilet when commotion broke out. And the guard screamed at me to get out, you know. And I came out of the toilet and people were running all around the ship in panic. I thought, what the heck? Didn't know what was going on. The guard belted me in the back of the, between the shoulders and get down the, back down the hold. And then the battens were slung over the hold and were sealed in. And I got down and my mate said, what's all the noise going on up there? I said, I don't know. I said, there's something going on because they're tearing around like mad dogs up there, I said. And it no sooner said that than was a juddering boom that hit this the whole ship, and the whole ship shuddered. And of course we thought, hello, the Navy's arrived or we're being bombed or something. And of course a bit of cheering went up. And about 5 minutes later, the hatch cover was thrown off again. And a New Zealand voice says, come on, you chaps, get out of there. There's work to be done. And we got up. We all start climbing up the ladder. And we're told that the torpedo had hit the ship and the forward hold was in a shambles. We had to get the wounded out. So I looked over the into this hold of this forward hold. It was a horrible sight. The water was red with blood. There was men screaming in the water. And all the debris that was floating around in there, it was a horrible sight. So they were slinging ropes down, and some of the chaps were going down the twisted line, rung of the ladders, hauling the chaps out, you know. Oh, it was sickening. Chaps were being taken out with legs off, and arms off. And some of them were, their limbs were just hanging by sinews, and they were just cutting them off with jackknives, laying them out on the deck. The deck was swimming in blood.
Were these New Zealanders or South Africans?
Oh, both. Both. There was a lot of panic going on at that time. Chaps were, even at that stage, we didn't know whether we were going to get another torpedo or not. The chaps were jumping over the side, throwing hatch covers over and killing their own men in the water by shoving these heavy hatch covers over the side to use as rafts, and, you know. But eventually a German appeared on the scene, stood on top of a high point on the ship and fired his revolver in the air. And he was talking to us, screaming at us in German, which we none of us understood what he was saying. And eventually he asked if anybody could speak German. And a South African translated for him, and he's to the effect that the ship was not sinking. The engines were intact, but the propellers of the ship was out of the water, and it couldn't get any leeway because the propellers were out of the water. And he says he wanted every man he could get on the stern of the boat to add weight to push the propellers down into the water, because the nose of the ship was up. Sorry, the nose of the ship was down, and he had wanted to wave the propellers into the water.